Thank you, Vicki. Good morning. Hope everybody is doing well today on a beautiful fall morning. Color starting to pop around, and it's looking good outside, isn't it? Everybody likes that color. At least when some of them sit there and go, you don't like the color because that means that the cold weather is going to follow that. But where are my cold weather people? Where are my hot weather people? Where are my people just floating through life? There we go. We got a pretty even mixed bag along the way with that, but we're so glad that that you're here today. Hey, look at somebody and give them a smile and a wave and say, hey, man, it is good to see you this morning, and I want to challenge you to do something today, and at some point before you leave here today, find somebody you hadn't talked to in a long time and just go up and say hello to them and say, I just want you to know that I was tickled to death to see you here today, and I appreciate you. That goes a long way. By the way, with our online audience, we're so glad to have our online audience join us today as well, and be sure to say hello to one another out there. You're part of our congregation as we go forward, and let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Father, as we come to you, we're grateful and we're thankful for the opportunity to freely meet here today. Lord, to take the opportunity to gather around your word and to gather with your people. Lord, we're grateful for the importance of what it means for like-minded folks who are believers to come together and Lord, to learn from your word, to learn from each other, to worship you. And what a privilege we have to be able to do that in a free country. So, Lord, we're grateful for all that. Father, we pray that you will be with all of those who are deployed, who are away from their homes, away from their family, protecting the freedoms that we enjoy today. And Lord, may we never take them for granted because they've been bought with a price. And in the same way, Lord, help us never take your church for granted because our salvation has also been bought with a price. The price of the shed blood of your only begotten Son who gave up his life and picked it back up that we might have eternal life. And today, Lord, that's what we're here to worship. Help us in all that we do, Lord, to magnify you in a way that that's pleasing to you. May it be a sweet aroma in your sight. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, again, we're in that time of the year, which is a special time of the year of beginning to plan, or hopefully you're already on your way of planning Operation Christmas Child. You'll notice that we've had the boxes back there in the narthex that as you come and go, you can grab one or two or 12 or however many that the Lord puts on your heart to be able to fix up. The Central Baptist has always been a phenomenal supporter of Operation Christmas Child, and yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It really has. We've had the opportunities to hear some of the testimonies of people who have heard from the recipients of their boxes, because you can track that. You can kind of track where it goes and actually know who it is or where it goes when the kids get that. So some of you are familiar with that. If you're not, we can be sure to answer any questions that you may have. I do want to encourage you to use the boxes that we have back there in the narthex. And the reason why, I know a lot of times people say, well, we'll get I call it the Tupperware ones, because they can reuse those in the future, which you're absolutely right. You can feel free to do that. It's just easier to package the boxes that are designed to fit the next box that they go into. So either way, but if you could keep that in mind, we certainly do appreciate it. And we're going to be actually doing some collections coming up. I think I'm going to tell you those at the end. Let's see. We're actually going to do an in-gathering on November the 12th and the 19th. And that's when we will collect our boxes here. And then also, we're a regional drop-off. So therefore, your boxes are going to make a really long trip. The long trip they'll make will be from the sanctuary to the other building to be packed, and then we'll ship them off to the next spot. So at any rate, if you're not familiar with that, let us know. If you are, the boxes are out there, and we're going to be looking forward to having that opportunity to again do that ministry. As always, as we enter into this time of the year, we take the opportunity to give you an idea about how this ministry affects the people who participate in it as well as those who are recipients. So once again, for this year, we're going to take another peek inside Operation Christmas Child.
Every year, all over the world, children are experiencing the joy of God's love through Operation Christmas Child. Each carefully packed gift box is a tangible way to demonstrate God's love to children and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Hundreds of dedicated national and regional leadership team volunteers in over 100 countries make Operation Christmas Child possible. These local leaders plan, pray, recruit, mobilize, and equip local ministry partners to reach others with the gospel.
The team coordinator gives strategic direction, leadership, and care for the members of the team, and is accountable for all aspects of the Operation Christmas Child program in their country or region.
The discipleship coordinator equips our ministry partner teams to plan a gospel-centered outreach event, as well as a clear and child-friendly gospel presentation. Children are invited to join the Greatest Journey Discipleship class, where they learn about God, the Bible, and how to share their faith with others.
The prayer coordinator has the incredible role to develop prayer networks for adults and children within their country. We then invite these networks to participate in prayer for the evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication ministry.
The resource coordinator stewards Operation Christmas Child financial resources through excellent bookkeeping and regular reporting.
The church mobilization coordinator is someone who loves the local church. They cast the vision of Operation Christmas Child to ministries, organizations, schools, and churches from various evangelical denominations.
The logistic coordinator safely stores and transports shoeboxes and ministry materials so ministry partners can effectively share the gospel and disciple children.
Volunteers are a critical element of the program. It takes a multitude of dedicated men and women to spread the impact of Operation Christmas Child to the farthest corners of your country. God is calling volunteers to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to children, families, and communities all over the world. Is God calling you to serve?
Morning. Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches over his own. Please stand with me as we sing hymn number 405.
Have faith in God.
You know, I was just thinking about that as we were singing that. Tim, do me a favor real quick. Put that last, that chorus back up just for a second, because, you know, I thought about what a blessing that is, and that should almost be a prayer as we start each day. You look at that. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Is God not merciful to us each and every day? And each day brings God's own new mercies in our heart and in our life. It says, all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Isn't that some great theology? Man, I tell you, I just hope and pray that we don't ever get to the point where we just mechanically go through the motions as we sing these songs. You know, as I sat there and sang that, I thought about, man, think about what God has in store for us. What new mercies for today, what it is that he wants to do, what he wants to show us. And then the fact that at times when we come to the Lord in prayer and we're like, Lord, you know what? I'm messed up. I've got a bunch of needs. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. I pray that each and every time we have the opportunity to come together and lift up our voices in praise, that they're truly a praise from our heart to his, because, man, what a great message as we lead in to God's message for today. Thank you so much, Tim. Today we're going to be looking and prayerfully finish up what I'm essentially calling a mini-series on the law of sowing and reaping. We've talked about that for the last couple of weeks in our Bible. We're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 7, where we read in God's Word, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's pray together. Father, as we take these moments to gather around, and Lord, as our hearts have been prepared and we know that you are present in this place, we pray that we will truly give ear to the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to concentrate upon you and purpose to hear what you have to say to each and every one of us this morning. Lord, we know there are a lot of things that Satan will try to distract us with as we spend time or attempt to spend time with you. And Lord, for these moments, may we be still in your presence and know that you are God. Help us, Father, to lift you up as you draw all men unto you. And Lord, for these moments, I pray you would be with this, your messenger, that you would truly be the one that is high and lifted up, that you might draw all men unto you. Bless our time, Father, as only you can, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the things we've been talking about over the past couple of weeks is what I have deemed the law of sowing and reaping. Remember, a law means it happens 100% of the time. And this is something that you can take to the bank. And most of us know the simple little concept of sowing and reaping. We have probably heard that, and we've probably used even some different language around that one. You know, it's kind of like that old expression that I still hear used today. It's one that has gotten traction and hung on. But remember this one, what goes around comes around. That is basically the same premise of whatever you sow, that you will also reap. And that what goes around comes around. And it's also, you know, one of those situations where it's going to come at the worst possible time for you when it comes back around to you. And there are so many aspects of that. And usually it's that dish best served cold. You know how that goes? Remember, they always say that about revenge, is a dish best served cold. Well, you're going to find out that the harvest is going to come, if it's a bad harvest, it's going to come when you should least expect it. Now, what we've covered over the past couple of weeks, I told you I was going to give you at least four. There's more than four. but at least, you know, four things that we can learn in regard to the law of sowing and reaping. And the first thing we talked about was the fact that you reap only, that's the key word, you reap only what you sow. It's a very simple concept. If you plant corn, corn's what's going to grow. If you plant apples, apple trees are what's going to grow. You know, if you plant grass, grass is going to grow. Now, I've always thought there was an exception to the rule because it always seemed like when I planted grass, weeds grew. I don't know about you guys. But the bottom line is you are going to reap only, that's the key word, only what you sow. Now, I don't want to rehash what we did, you know, over the last 2 weeks, but keep that in mind. You're only going to reap only what you sow. The second thing we learned is that you will reap the same thing that you sow. You cannot sow one thing and expect there to be something different that is going to grow. I mean, we go out with anticipation. Now, I've said the exception to that rule was, it was either last year, may have even been this year, where I think that what happened was when I bought some plants, I think that a kid had a really good laugh. Because I think what he did was when he was at the store, he took the little labels that are in there that tell you what kind of tomatoes you're going to be growing and what kind of peppers you're going to be growing, and he switched them around. Because I said, those are the funniest looking jalapeno peppers I've ever planted in my life. And turned out they weren't jalapenos, they were banana peppers. So everything that I bought that I thought was that, it wasn't. Okay? Now, boy, there's another sermon for another day. Satan's deceptive, isn't he? He really is. But the bottom line is that you will reap the same thing that you sow. If you're going to go out and sow seeds of discord, let me tell you what you're going to reap. Discord. Plain and simple. Why do we have such a tough time with that concept? If we are angry and we go out and we sow anger, guess what we will eventually harvest? Anger. If it's dissension, guess what we're eventually going to reap? Dissension. 100% of the time. Remember, that's why we call it a law. So the second law is that you are going to reap the same thing that you are sowing. If you have a bad attitude, that's what's going to come back to you, plain and simple. Now, that is an easy concept. How many of you all understand the concepts that I've been talking about? This is not rocket science. But here's the thing. If we understand it, then why do we not exercise it? That's a different story, isn't it? Making application. One of the things I love about the two gals that I have in my Awana group, which are more heading into your high school age teens, is that when we go through a whole week, as they get older, it's not just let's work on this memory verse. They have a whole week's worth of things that they do. There's a scripture passage. We will discuss that scripture passage. There are memory verses. There are exercises for them to do. And the last thing, the very last thing that they have to tell me is simply this. How are you going to apply this to your life starting right now? How are you going to make application? Because that gets them thinking. How do I apply this? So today, I'm going to take a page out of my Awana group by saying this. How are you going to apply what you're going to learn today in your life? If you know that you're going to reap what you sow, what would be a natural course of action? Here it is. Be very careful what you sow. Now, some of you have been there before, probably haven't been thinking about it in this manner, but how many times have you been to a point in a place where you've said, I've got to keep my mouth shut because I'm getting ready to say something I shouldn't say? Hallelujah, my people. You just breathe heavy and you're like, in through the nose, out through the mouth. Because if I'm getting ready to say something, I'm going to regret. I'm getting ready to do something that I should not do. And the bottom line is that if I do that, I'm going to reap what I sow. Okay? So today, I'm going to give you the last two things, hopefully, and get some takeaways before we shut this down. So here's the third law of sowing and reaping, and that is that you will reap in a different season than you sow. Different season. Look down at verse 9. What does verse 9 tell us? It says this, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You know, when you think about it, you know, there are some people who seed plant, some people who plant, get the plants, you know, when you're getting closer to, the spring and change it into the summer. But when I plant seeds in March or April or May, I don't see them produce veggies until around July or August, right? Yeah, you put them in the ground and you know, there's a process that has to take place. Paul tells us that there is a harvest time. There is an appointed time for a spiritual harvest, both a negative and a positive harvest. You know, think about the things, and I can still remember many, many years ago, one of the things that essentially clouded the homosexual lifestyle that they didn't know about, but later on, AIDS became a prevalent thing in a homosexual lifestyle. People didn't know that right out of the gate, but then all of a sudden, there was a harvest that was coming in from the seed that had been sown. Plain and simple. You can think of many examples such as that. You know, something that ravaged the community. There was sowing, then later there was reaping of a painful consequence. If you lie at work, if you cheat at school, if you take drugs in secret, if you wind up being involved outside of your marriage, if you remain apathetic or indifferent or life, if your life is a life of self-centeredness along the way, let me promise you this. I'm promising you this. A harvest is coming. Mark my word. Remember that old expression? Mark my word. Remember this day. A harvest is coming, but it's coming in due time. Paul states the law in verse 9 in a positive manner. The way he states it in verse 9 is as an encouragement. Now, it would be an encouragement to those who were sowing good seed, right? But the same holds true for those who are sowing bad or indifferent seed. You reap in a different season than when you sow. When you put those seeds in the ground, the harvest doesn't come tomorrow. It comes down the road. And you see, that's why a lot of Christians have a problem today. You know what happens? There are people who see the error of their way. There are people who see and they're like, you know what? I am going to, what is the old expression? Turn over a new leaf. I am going to start a new chapter in my life. And here's the problem. The problem is they expect everything to be better now. And what happens is, the days and the weeks begin to pass by and they don't see any difference. Why don't they see any difference? Because they are still reaping a harvest that they had previously sown. You see what I'm saying? And that's what we as believers need to encourage them to say, look, don't stop. Listen, the problem is you are reaping the harvest from what you had sown before. But if you keep sowing the good stuff, eventually the harvest is going to come for the good stuff. You just have to stay with it. Don't quit. Don't give up. We do not have, and this is probably an old term, but some of y'all's hair is grayer than mine, so you'll get it. We don't have the stick-to-itiveness in society today that we used to. Do we? Well, try something. If it don't, well, I tried that. It didn't work. I've often thought about this for a moment. I've often thought about the Apostle Paul. Remember, before he was Paul, he was Saul. Good job. I like how y'all did that. He was Saul. And if you remember, what his big thing was, and he was sold out on it, was persecuting the Christians. Christian people feared Saul. I mean, he literally had marching orders to be able to imprison them and in some cases take their life. He was on a manhunt. He was hunting them down. He was actively involved in hunting down Christian people. And then something amazing happened on the road to Damascus. Y'all remember that? He saw a bright, shining light, and it blinded him. And if you remember, it was, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And for the first time, Saul was like, "You mean I ain't doing this right? I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing? No, no." Now think about it. He's got a reputation, doesn't he? People fear this man. And yet the Lord tells him, "Well, go on down into the city. You're going to run into a man. All's going to be most right with the world. You're going to be able to," he would see again. And then, essentially, remember what he said? He said, "I won't go to church." Now, I'm paraphrasing, of course. That's not King James or anything, so y'all bear with me. He said, "I won't go to church. Not only do I want to go to church, I want to preach at the church." Remember what I said his reputation was? How many of y'all would have volunteered to have attended Paul's first sermon? Listen, the word hadn't even gotten time to get out yet. He has just arrived from his Damascus Road experience, and he going to be in prayer meeting that night? I think I'd have found me something else to do. I think I'd have found me someplace else to go. Because you know what we'd have said? We'd have said, "This is a trick. He's trying to get us. I heard what he did to Uncle Charlie. I heard what he did to Aunt Mabel. I know what this cat is. I'm not going tonight. Forget it." Could you imagine what that must have been? Do you think he was well received on the first sermon he attended? Those that were actually there were probably sitting there saying, "Okay, if I can jump out this window, I can get away from here because I might be able to outrun him." Those that showed up. It took some time, remember? Because even the Apostle Paul had to reap what he had previously sown. And yet he turned out to be one of the greatest evangelical preachers known to mankind. We're still talking about him today, 2,000 years later. I like that old, I'm probably dating myself here now, but y'all remember the old commercial for Fram oil filters? And one of the big things was, and see, part of the problem was Fram filters were a little bit more expensive. Y'all remember that? Jimmy, you can tell us that. Fram was one of them high dollar things. But you remember what the guy said on the commercial? He said, "You can pay me now, or you can pay me later." In other words, you can spend a little extra on this good oil filter, or you can pay me later when we're tearing your engine apart and replacing all the parts in it. You can pay me now, or you can pay me later. The law of sowing and reaping is as such. Harvest time is not now, but it's coming. Just remember that. It's not now, but it's coming. What's going to be coming your way? I hope and pray that that's what the Holy Spirit is putting on your heart today. And you know what? Even if you sit back and say, "Lord have mercy, I am not looking forward to the harvest that's coming because I have just been a terrible person." It's still coming. Are you hearing me? See, that's when you're going to have to pray to God and say, "Lord, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that I need, your hand will provide. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, help get me through the harvest of this mess that I've sown in my life. It's coming." That's why you should develop habits in your relationships. Yeah, the ones that will strengthen your marriage later, not things that undermine it. See, you can develop new patterns in your marriage now that'll keep you close as your children grow older. Yeah, it's interesting that what happens is most couples make their life all about their kids to the point that when the kids finally leave, they don't even know who each other really is anymore. Yeah, that empty nest syndrome. Well, what do we do now? We ain't never had this much time on our hands. And by the way, I've often said this too, enjoy those times, because one of these days you're gonna be sitting back going, man, I'll tell you one thing, I'd just like to walk through this living room one time and not step on a toy, and someday you will. I'd just like to one time sit down for a hot meal instead of having to do all this, that, the other thing, and you will. Most of y'all know better than I do the truth in that statement. Enjoy those times. Develop commitments in your ministry now. Oh yeah, I said your ministry, because God has called each and every one of us to a ministry. Develop commitments in your ministry. We are the most lack of commitment people that I know, and that frustrates. How many of y'all get frustrated because people who will not commit to anything? See, y'all are afraid to raise your hand because some of y'all know that's you. Oh, we got a sign-up sheet. Aunt Harriet may come in that day. I'll do that if something else doesn't come along. We don't commit to anything. We don't commit to ministry within our church. Oh, Lord of mercy, you want me to teach a Sunday school class? That means I got to be there all 52 Sundays. You think? No. But get somebody to fill in for you when you go on vacation. It's ironic what we have accepted in our society today. Develop commitments in your ministry now that you will reap an eternal harvest later on. It's not going to be easy. Folks, you think about the times when our mission folks go. You know, some of the hardships that we've put. I know personally because I've been involved in the Cuba mission for so long. I mean, no, it's not McDonald's. It's not a Big Mac. It's not a steak and a baked potato to eat. It's barely enough to scrape by. They give us the best they got, but it's barely enough. We wouldn't even call it a meal for a week. The conditions, the vehicles, if you're lucky enough to have one of those to ride around in. No, there's no padded pews. You know, the air conditioning is praying to God that the wind blows through the patio. Man, I sweat in here in air conditioning. You can imagine what my shirt looks like when I get done preaching in Cuba. It's aromatic. And yet, every one of them strives to be there because they're committed. Committed. What are we committed to? You must invest without an immediate return. And yet what we have in our society is, I call it the microwave culture. If I can remember this, I know you can. How many of y'all remember when the microwave first came out? Wow. That was revolutionary, wasn't it? You could heat stuff up in a matter of seconds. You didn't have to fire up the stove or the oven. You didn't have to wait all this time. A few seconds and boom, you were ready to go. That's why I call our society today the microwave culture. We want everything now. We get bored easily. We tire so easily in our society. You know, we've removed endurance from our thinking. You have to be willing to serve, to give, to fellowship, to disciple with intentional relationships, to teach, to preach, to train, to pray, to share the gospel, to counsel, to invest, seeing little fruit immediately and wondering if fruit will ever come. But you will reap in a different season than when you sow. Do you get it? Do you get it? Paul gives an exhortation in verse 9 to not lose heart. Don't grow weary. Don't get exhausted. Don't give up, but keep on going. If you labor for Christ, keep your heart, keep it fresh, keep your service enduring. Whether you're entering the season you're in is delightful, or even if it's difficult. I love a passage in 1 Corinthians 15:58 that says, "Be ye strong, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain." See, we're planting now for the harvest that will be later. That's huge. That's huge. The last thing I want to share with you in regard, or my last thing in regard to the last law of the harvest that I want to point out, is that we will also reap more than we have sown. That's a big one. That's a big one. If you think about it, you take a piece of seed corn and you plant that one little kernel of corn and one stalk grows up, but it will usually have anywhere from 2 to 4 ears on it. I can say that here, right, in the country. It's an ear of corn. What it is here, too. You plant one little grain, and one stalk grows up, but it's going to give you anywhere from 2 to 4 ears of corn. You sit back. So how many times have we ever sat back and said, "Lord, have mercy. I know I wasn't the best person, but I didn't deserve this." You're going to reap more than you have sown. Think about it. Think about what you're sowing. Yeah. I love being a pop. I wrote this. I said, yeah, positively, as I serve, I pray, and as I give, I am part of what God is doing here at Central Baptist Church and all over the world through the missions that are supported. And someday we will be shocked at how much fruit that's yielded. God's allowed us in certain instances to see some of that fruit immediately, to see hearts and lives that have been touched. And some of you have never seen it. I've seen it over in what you've done here and what you've sent us to Cuba with. And I told you particularly in that situation, 1 year we went and this little church out in the middle of nowhere, Sevilla, had about 18 kids. And we challenged them, and we funded a program for them to do. It was like the Awana program, and they embraced it. They took it, and 1 year later when we went back, those 18 kids were 80. And not only were those 18 80, they said, "Oh, we want to take you to another place." We went to an apartment complex down here, and we started that. There's another 80 kids up there. In 1 year, 160 kids were being reached by the gospel message because of you. And you know what? Many of you didn't even know that. But you contributed to that Cuba fund. And you contributed to the ministry money. And guess what's going to happen? There's going to be a bunch of little Cuban kids that are going to come up and say, "Hey, thank you for giving that I might be able to be here today." And you're going to be like, "Jose, what do you mean? Oh, well, you gave and your missionaries brought it over, the funding over, and they challenged the little church in Sevilla, and the little church in Sevilla took that challenge you provided the resources for, and because of that, I came to church, and I was able to know Jesus and learn about him, and I'm here today because of you." That's just like them shoeboxes. See, and the Lord puts it on your heart. He's already got the child in mind that's going to get it, that's going to not only get a gift, but also going to get to hear the gospel message. And you may never know what your shoebox is going to do on this side of glory. But you'll find out on the other side. Why? Because you reap what you sow. On the negative side of that, my sinful actions, my sinful thoughts and words can also and will also produce horrible consequences. Sowing a few minutes of immoral pleasure, even just once, can reap a lifetime of guilt, deep hurt from your spouse, mistrust by family and friends, shame and disqualification. A moment of sowing can reap a lifetime of harvest. A single seed can produce a bumper crop of consequence. Just a few words like, "I hate you," to your parents, or "I wish I'd never met you," to your spouse, or I wish we'd never had you to your children can leave permanent scars. Or one act of thievery, one night of drinking, one little lie, one flirtatious event can reap horrific ongoing consequences. And you know what? I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, because in some cases, I believe every one of us know this law. You have tasted it. You have experienced it. And at the same time, I want you to remember this. A lifetime of faithful ministry, discipleship, teaching, training, loving, serving, sharing, praying, counseling, evangelizing, mentoring, investing, giving faithfully, week in and week out, will produce a great fruit. Peter told Jesus he had given up everything to follow him. And what Jesus say to him over in Mark 10:29-30, he said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or mother or father or children or farm for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he shall receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life." What you think you're giving up, God says, you know, if you think you've given it up, I'm going to give you 10 times that in a reward. But you got to be faithful. It's got to be for the long haul. Notice what it says in our text in verses 9 and 10. And help us not to lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap, if we don't grow weary. You know what he's saying? Stay with it. Let us not grow weary. Sometimes we get tired in ministry, don't we? Let us not grow weary in doing good. We've looked around and we've seen the heathen look like they prosper. And we're like, well, what's the sense in me doing this? You've said that to yourself. Don't tell me you hadn't. But in due season, it's not right now. Due season, you will reap if you do not lose heart. Because remember, that heathen is also going to reap in due time and in due season as well. What are you going to reap? Paul was mentioning the fact that your Christian life is going to take some time. In due time. It's going to take some time. The life of a Christian is a life that's the long haul. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You ever noticed, and I used to watch this, I was never a runner. I hated to run. If I'm running today, you better run too. Okay? I was like, running? Who wants to do that? Now, I know some of y'all are out there going, it's a great healthy. Yeah, it probably is. And look, I don't look like a runner either. But I watch a marathon. And the interesting part is you watch some of the best people in the world, they're not up at the front of the pack in the start. They're just doing their thing. In fact, you're sitting there going, well, that guy's supposed to be number one in the world. He's horrible. He's running last. Until he gets to the home stretch. And then all of a sudden, you see everybody else sucking wind and holding their sides, about to go down. And he passes them like he just started the race. And he crosses that finish line. You know why? Because he's trained himself to understand that it's a marathon, not a sprint. So is our spiritual life. It's a marathon. You have the right pace, but you got to be running. Get in the race. You can't win if you don't run. You can't win if you don't play. Sowing was not easy for Christ, and it's not going to be easy for you. Farming is difficult work if you've ever done it. Continual work, patient work. So Paul shares the key to sowing and reaping is don't lose heart while you're doing it. And that is true for you and I today. Don't lose heart. We all can sit back and think of better days. Don't lose heart. We can all think back of times when God's blessing was more bountiful in our lives and in our church. Don't lose heart. Don't quit. Because guess what? Not only is God counting on us, the next generation is counting on us as well, because we shall reap what we sow. I just have a couple other things, and maybe I'll get to them or not. What are the takeaways from the last 3 weeks as we have come together and considered the law of the harvest? Mine are pretty easy. Here's your first takeaway. Don't mess with God. You will lose, and you will lose horribly. People who think they can live a life of secret sin and get away with it, they're fooling themselves, but they're not fooling God. Don't mess with him, because he knows. The second thing, do not deny the law of the harvest. Don't sit back and say, well, it's not going to happen to me. See, the truth of sowing and reaping is not contradicted by the gospel of grace, and Jesus Christ is the ultimate demonstration of sowing and reaping. Do not think that you can deny it. Denial gets you nowhere. You've known it. Either you or somebody you've known has lived in denial before. Just because you sit there and say, well, if I don't think about it, it won't happen. That is not true. If I don't consider the law of gravity and I stand up here and I hold my arms out and say, I'm going to fall forward, but I'm just going to ignore gravity, does that make it any less a law that happens? Negative. When I face plant on the carpet and down here in front, I'd be like, ooh, that didn't work. You can't deny the law of the harvest either. Then we need to embrace the sowing theology, is what I call it. See, God is sovereign, but you're responsible. We don't like to hear that. We don't like to be responsible for anything, do we? Well, it's not my thing. We always blame somebody else. God is sovereign. He can do anything he wants, anytime he wants to whomever he wants to, and be justified in doing it. He is sovereign, but you are responsible. So start sowing. You're responsible. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We can make all the excuses in the world, but you know what God says? Well, that's good. You're responsible. I still remember as a police officer, I heard so many excuses. Well, because of this and because of that. And I'm like, you're still responsible. Yeah. You were driving 150 miles an hour down the highway. Well, I had a cramp in my leg, and my leg shot forward. It pushed the gas pedal down. I was running 150 miles an hour. Did you think I was going to sit back and go, oh, I'm so sorry for you. Let me rub that Charlie horse out and let you get on your way. Negative. I'm sorry for that. Absorbine Jr. or some Ben Gabe will help that out. Here's your ticket. You are responsible. And here, listen, pay attention to me, and I'm going to wrap it up. God is going to hold you accountable because you are responsible for your sowing, and you will find out what you shall reap. And you sit back and say, how can I do that? Because you need to rely on the sowing power. The power is not from you. The sowing is to the Spirit. You can't sow to the Spirit unless you're depending on the Spirit. You live relying on Him, obeying His word, surrendering to His guidance, and wanting only what He wants, and that's to be filled with the Spirit. You must say to Him, all of me is for all of you. I give all I am and all I have to be used for your honor and for your glory. That's your time, that's your tithe, that's your talent, that's everything. Sowing is not merely service. It's Spirit-filled service. There's a difference. See, we can get so busy serving that we completely miss God. We can get so busy trying to get a service going that we can miss God. We can be so busy trying to make sure that we hit every note in the choir right that we miss the reason why we do what we do. We can be so involved in church seeing the service go, because this is the way it is in the bulletin, that we miss the theology of the hymns that we just talked about today. How much have we missed? It's a Spirit-filled, directed life, Spirit-enabled serving, Spirit-energized greeting, whatever it is you do, Spirit-teaching, whatever it is. Because when you do it, you're doing it for the glory of God. And the bottom line is this: harvest time's coming. Harvest time's coming. What will you harvest in the future? And some of you may say, well, I'm in trouble. Well, I'll tell you this. God's grace is able to sustain you. I said one of the most poignant pictures of that is when somebody has done wrong, maybe a guy and a gal have gotten promiscuous, and all of a sudden there's a baby on the way, and they may be truly repentant, they may be truly sorry for their actions, but there's still going to be a baby born 9 months later. And that child still deserves to be loved and cared for and taken care of as a gift from God. That doesn't mean that you celebrate a sinful action that brought them here, but that wasn't their fault. That's a lifetime of a reminder of a few moments of sowing some bad seed. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to make sure I'm clear on this. I'm not saying that that child can't be one of the best blessings down the road that there ever was. But I'm going to tell you like you can understand it. Do it right. We know what God has called us to do and how He's called us to live. How much more of a blessing? What are you sowing? Brad, I'm going to ask you guys to take your place as we enter this time of invitation, because I'm asking you what God has said to you. First of all, are you one of His children? Does He call you by name? When I say Lord, He goes, oh, that's Roy again. When you call His name, is He oblivious? Like, see, the Lord knows His children and calls them by name. Have you given your life to Him? Has there been that time when you've trusted Him? I'm not asking you if you've gone through all the processes that we do. I'm not asking you if you checked a box on a card. I'm not asking you even if you came down and prayed with the preacher. I am asking you if you can remember the day that you gave your life to Jesus. You don't have to give it to me a day, date, time, calendar, where, but do you remember it? Like I said, I can't tell you the day or date because I don't know many six-year-olds that are into calendars and watches. But I can remember, like, I didn't even know how to respond to an invitation. I was just asking questions after the service. My dad took me down there, and I was asking those questions to the preacher. And finally, he asked me, he said, sounds to me like the Lord's knocking at your heart's door. And I said, sounds to me like you're right. And he said, would you like to accept Jesus into your heart? And I said, oh, yeah. And I remember my dad was sitting down on his knee, and I was sitting on his knee when I asked Jesus into my heart at a little church somewhere in Ohio. I don't remember the day, the date, nor the time, but I remember that moment like it was yesterday. That was the day that God wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and said, you're forgiven. Can you remember that? I don't want you to go away from here saying, well, I think I'm saved, because you can know you are, because the Word says that. If you have not trusted Jesus, I'm simply asking you right now, wherever you are, to cry out to Him and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I hear You knocking on my heart's door. Forgive me, Father, and save me. And if you did that, then you have started that relationship with Him. That's not the end of it. That's the beginning. You might be reaping a harvest that you don't care for later on down there, but don't quit. Start sowing the good seed. And then when that harvest starts to come in, what an exciting time. Oh, but you got to remember this too. There's also going to be some years where there's going to be a really good crop. But that good crop's based on what you sowed before. But you can, the next year, you can have a pretty lousy one because you got so much enjoyment out of what you did before you slacked off. Harvest time's coming. Christian, what have you been doing? Have you been sitting up in the barn telling good old day stories and not out sowing seed? If you're alive and you're breathing, you still need to be sowing seed. Good seed that will come in the harvest later. Maybe that's what you need to give to the Father. Whatever you need to do, if you need me, I'm here. The altar is here. I'm going to ask Brad if he will come and lead us in our invitation hymn as we stand and we sing together, You Do Business With God. Hymn number 317, Only Trust. Of the Lord and the Holy Spirit speaking to you, get away from you. Whatever He has pointed out to you, maybe He's given you an attaboy, congratulations. Maybe He's pointed out some areas in your life that need to be done better, that you need to sow good seed. Whatever it is, I pray right now that you will embrace that you will take Him up on it, and that you will see the harvest in the future. This time I'd like to ask our ushers if they would make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and give Him an offering. And once again, folks, this is an act of worship. The Lord asked us to give that not because He doesn't own it all, but yet He might bless us. He wants to see whether or not we are faithful. Man, what a great opportunity to take the Lord up on the challenge that He has given us today to be faithful, to worship Him with the tithe and the offering. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to You now, we realize and acknowledge that all things come from You. So, Lord, I pray that You will truly help us to be faithful, that we might receive Your blessing, but, Lord, that we might also be a blessing to others. May we truly be found faithful in our giving in such a way that it will produce a great harvest with the seeds that are being sown today. As we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. down. The word of the Lord tells us that as we enter into the time of observing the Lord's Supper, it says, but let a man examine himself, that he doesn't eat of the bread or partake of the cup in an unworthy manner. So I'm just simply going to ask us to make sure that our hearts and our minds are prepared as we enter into this time of taking the Lord's Supper. Just think about all that they went through. Think about what Jesus went through and what this particular supper is representation of. So would you take just a moment and do business with the Lord in silent prayer, and then I'll dismiss us. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to this time where we gather around your table, and Lord, we observe the Lord's Supper and the significance in which you gave it to each and every one of us. Lord, it's representation of your body which was broken for us and your blood which was shed for us. Lord, it's a memorial service to Calvary and what was accomplished. Lord, I'm so grateful that even though you went through all those things, there was a third day, the day that you arose. You conquered sin and death and hell that we might have eternal life. Lord, today as we come around your table as your children, I pray that we will do so in a manner pleasing to you, that's worthy in your sight, not because of who we are, but because of what was accomplished through Calvary and through your Son. Lord, bless us during this time, in Jesus' name, amen. Brother Jimmy, would you ask a blessing upon the bread?
Thank you.
word tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, as he gathered in that upper room with his disciples, it said that he took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, he passed it out to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. Brother Kelly, would you ask the blessing upon the cup?
Gracious Father, Lord, our meager words are not enough to thank you for the blood of Jesus. But we do offer these thanks to you. Thank you for sharing with us your Son, for him coming in the flesh and shedding his blood, that we can come through you. For worthy is he, the Lamb, to atone for our sins, to bring us and allow us to come into your presence. Thank you, dear Lord, for allowing this time of communion of our family, the body of Christ here, our communion with all the saints throughout these 2,000 years. Thank you, Almighty God, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Tells us in a like manner also, when he supped, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood." I love those words, because you know what that meant? That meant that Jesus was the once for one and all perfect sacrifice. And the word tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. No longer would it be that they would have to repeatedly sacrifice the blood of an animal, but Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. That's the new covenant. So he told his disciples, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. Word tells us, for as oft as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we do show the Lord's death until he comes. Guys, thank you. I'm going to let y'all go ahead and head on back to your families. And as a reminder, there's a couple of things before I forget, because I always do. Each time we have the Lord's Supper, we will take a benevolence offering at the door. 100% of what is taken there goes into the benevolence fund to help those in our church and our community that need that. Have we got the plates over? Yeah, Mark's working on that. He's got us covered. So make sure you cover all the doors. We don't want anybody to escape, okay? Don't want anybody to get by that offering plate. I'm messing with you guys. But anyway, just a couple quick things, and then we'll get you on out of here. Birthdays, Randy Stewart, back there in the back, is tomorrow, man. He's going to make another trip around the sun tomorrow. So be sure to wish Randy a happy birthday. Tuesday, Bill Eatman will turn another year older. And Friday, Bill Monroe. We'll be celebrating a birthday. So be sure to let them know how much you love them and appreciate them. And then also tomorrow, Dr. Pete and Sandra will be sharing another anniversary, man. She's put up with you for another year, Doc. God is good. God is good, right? God is good. Grace. It's been tough, right? But at any rate, be sure to wish them a very, very happy anniversary. Now, by the way, we got a lot of things that are going on. I'm just going to cover a few things for today. My D-Life group meets at 3:30 in the conference room. Awana, 5:30 to 7 today. That's its regular time. And then choir practice, 4:45. But we will not have the adult Bible study here tonight. David and Donna are on vacation, so pray that they have a good, restful, relaxation time of being able to be away. And there won't be any band practice tonight. Is that correct, Jim? Just wanting to make sure. All right. There is, at 7 o'clock tonight, another question and answer meeting about Revolution Academy. So. And I've talked to finance, and they said, if you've been here, you don't have to come back. But if you want to come back, feel free to come back. If you have questions, we want to make sure that we try to get all those answered. So there will be another question and answer session tonight at 7 o'clock. People say, well, why don't we move that up if we're not having the adult Bible study? Because we still have Awana and a few other things. So that might take some people out. But that is in reference to a called business meeting, which will be a vote that will take place next Sunday to consider a motion from business and finance. So if you have questions, be here once again tonight. We do have another one, I think, listed for Wednesday, but we will see tonight if we need to have the one for Wednesday. Monday at 6:30 p.m., Steve Kelly's D-Life group meets in the conference room. That's a discipleship group, by the way. Then on the 24th, which is Tuesday at 4 p.m., the finance team has a meeting in the conference room. Is that still correct? No, they're not going to do that. I was just testing them to see if they were. So don't worry about that finance meeting. I know they got a lot going on at this particular point. I think that was a regular schedule one. Wednesday, 10 a.m. At the Olympic in Colfax. That's a men's fellowship. They get together and eat. No agenda, but just a great time of fellowship. Come join us if you can. Then there is a Q&A schedule for Wednesday, once again, in reference to the proposal that finance will be bringing up next Sunday morning. But if, like I say, if you've been to the other sessions, if you have your questions answered, if you don't have your questions answered, please get them to us now. We will try to get those answered before we have the call conference, which will be immediately after the morning service next Sunday. So let's try to get all of our questions answered, so that will be a quick meeting and you can get on to lunch, okay? So we don't want to hurry anything, but we want you to make sure that your questions are answered. Also, Operation Christmas Child, our in-gathering here when we collect the boxes will be the November the 12th and November the 19th. We usually bring those down. We'll put them at the altar. We say a prayer over the child or family that will be receiving those. And then we will move them over to pack them up to be able to go as a as a regional drop-off. We start that on November the 13th in the gym. I think there's a sign-up sheet back there if you want to help out with that. You're more than welcome to sign up and help us pack the boxes to go to the next place. That's when we take your little boxes and put them in bigger boxes to go to the next area. Also, trunk or treat. That is the 29th. I think that's next Sunday as well, isn't it? Next Sunday from 5 to 7. There will be inflatables in the gym. Also, popcorn, different treats in the parking lot. So bring some kids, invite some neighbors, and we'll have us a good time out in the parking lot for trunk or treat. Also, November the 14th, the bi-monthly blood drive. And on November the 4th, we're going to have a church work day here to try to get some things squared away that need to be done as far as on our grounds and building as well. And then finally, let me stress this. Our Cuba mission trip is March the 1st through the 8th. That's the 1st through the 8th. That's Friday to Friday. If the Lord has led you to be a part of this, I want to encourage you, let me know. We will probably have to have all of our stuff in before Thanksgiving. So you know what that means? We have about 30 days because the country of Cuba, their governmental offices are closed down in December. It takes 3 months to procure the visas, which the state convention takes care of for us. So we will pretty much have to have everything in probably by Thanksgiving. Right now, I think the fee is $1,500 per person. We ask our missionaries to raise their own money outside of the church because we as a church fund the ministry that goes on there. So you will have a chance as a church to be able to give to the Cuba Mission Fund, but that's the ministry money that we use over there to reach, to do all the ministries that some of the ones that we've just told you about. But at any rate, need your passport, need all that good stuff. Your passport has to at least have 6 months before it expires by the time we come back. That's just one of their rules. If you don't have it, they won't let you have a visa. So we're going in March. You figure April, May, June, July, August, September. Your passport cannot expire before September of 2024. So if you have any questions, see me. We'll get you squared away on that. One final thing, don't forget, we'll have some ushers at the door or plates at the door. This is a benevolence offering. If you can contribute to that, it goes 100% into our benevolence fund to take care of benevolent needs within our church. And if you would help Miss Phyllis out. Miss Phyllis is a sweetheart. She and the girls always prepare our communion and do it in such a fine fashion. We love her to death. Give Miss Phyllis a hand and her girls. That's back there. We appreciate them. To help them out, there is a garbage can back there by the door, right? If you would, take your little communion cup and throw it in the garbage can as you go out the door. That way, that will help them to not have to go down these long aisles and pick those cups up. If you would do that to help us out, we would certainly appreciate it. Is there anything else I've forgotten? I'm sure there is. But at any rate, lots of things that are going on. Okay, Sandra's got them in her hand. For those of you who were at the meeting or Q&A, any questions that have been asked in regard to the proposal that is going to come before the church next week, any questions and their answers have been updated. Sandra, who is right over there, wave again, Sandra. She has an updated copy of that if you would like to see that to be caught up on any questions and answers that have already been asked. She will make sure you get one of those. All right, anything else? All right, let's stand and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. And guys, we love you. We look forward to sowing some good seed and reaping a great harvest. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. Again, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together in your house and in your name today. Lord, to gather around the foot of the cross and Lord, to observe communion, to remember what you did at Calvary's cross. What a great memorial service to think about what you did for each and every one of us on an individual basis as well as a corporate basis. Father, help us to sow good seed that we might indeed reap a harvest that is fit for the kingdom. Lord, go with us as we go from this place. Guide all that we do. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks.